WildTalkRadio.com.
I only have one thing to say. It's great to be back on Monday Night Raw!
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
This is my yard now.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
If I were to apply to you now on this concrete, a perfectly executed inside cradle, commonly known as a small package, how long do you think it would take you to escape?
You would never escape a perfectly executed small package. 99% of the time, a small package, when applied expertly by an expert wrestler like myself, always works.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The Queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Tonight was all about Brock Lesnar calling out Samoa Joe. Paul Heyman made it very clear that his client, Brock Lesnar, would be here tonight to call out Samoa Joe. Even talking to Charlie Caruso, he made it clear that his client would be doing so. Samoa Joe warned Mr. Heyman of what could happen, that he has a Kunkita clutch waiting for him. And tonight, Brock Lesnar felt the Kukina clutch. This is the Raw Post Show live across the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented as always by Garbrook.net and Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow Journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. I'm Sir Rockin. That is Lindsay Ward.
This was a interesting Raw, to say the least.
We'll get to the odd stuff. I want to talk about, off the top, the Samoa Joe Brock Lesnar thing. As I was mentioning in the intro, that was the idea. Samoa Joe was going to be called out by Brock Lesnar. So Paul Heyman goes on and talks about how Joe doesn't fear him and so on and so forth. And it was talking about what would happen in Great Balls of Fire. So Brock Lesnar comes out to call out Samoa Joe. Before he could do it, Joe jumps him, locks him in the Kinkina clutch, and chokes the crap out of him. Brock is trying to break the hold by ramming him into the LED boards. Still doesn't break the hold comes loose, but Brock gets locked back in it by Samoa Joe. And every time he did, his face got redder and redder and redder to the point where it didn't look healthy.
Yeah, Joe was slapping that thing on for real. Like, legit real, that hold was going on. But this angle, I'm going to cry when Samoa Joe loses to Brock Lesnar, because everything in my being wants Joe to win this match. They are doing such a fantastic job of making Joe look like an absolute beast. Just legit and badass and zero you-know-what's given about Brock and Paul and everything they've done. It's like, no, Joe's got his eye fixed on that title. He wants that title, and he doesn't care that he has to go through Brock to get it. I love the interactions between Joe and Paul tonight. Paul Heyman, once again, proving to everybody why he is the best at what he does.
And we'll explain to you right now, because as she's queuing it up, Heyman was asked about his reaction to what happened. Says Brock's back is against the wall. He said, it will be a down and dirty fight, and Lesnar will finally take Joe to Suplex City. He will wake Joe wake up in the trainer's room and say, dear God, is this what it's like to fight the beast? And then he said this.
Goodness gracious! Great balls of fire!
Bless that man. Bless him.
He deserves all the things.
He deserves all the things. Paul Heyman was on point tonight. I mean, this whole thing was on point. They're, like I said, they're doing a really wonderful job of building this and making Joe look like a threat. Because I think this was our fear with, like, Brock Lesnar in general is, you know, we all know how the Brock matches go. Brock shows up. Brock looks like a badass. They make whoever he's going to face look okay, decent, yeah. And then they get their butt kicked. I don't think that's going to be the case with this. I could be completely wrong, but I think this is going to be a really, really good match between Joe and Brock, simply because it's not going to be a wrestling match in the traditional sense. It's going to be a fight. They're just going to beat the crap out of each other, and Joe's going to try to strangle the life out of Brock.
And that's what you want. That's what you really, really want.
And I really want Joe to win. It's not going to happen, but I really want him to win.
The sad part about it all, it's going to be a one and done.
I know. I want a feud from this. I want them to just fight each other for months.
And it would be amazing every time we saw.
Just because it would just be, they would beat the crap out of each other, and it would be great. It's like, you can hold off on Braun, because Braun is busy with Roman right now, so let's that, you know, have that happen. But, you know, Joe and Brock, yes.
Again.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I almost wish this was SummerSlam instead of Great Balls of Fire.
But then we
really kind of do.
But then we wouldn't have gotten that.
I know, but damn, this match almost deserves to be on SummerSlam.
Yes,
screw it.
Does.
I'm just gonna say it deserves to be on SummerSlam.
Deserves to be a WrestleMania.
I am all in for this match. I really kind of want to see Samoa Joe beat the crap out of Brock Lesnar.
So you mentioned Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman, right?
Mm-hmm.
They opened the show tonight.
Yes, they did.
And the fans were chanting, we want Strowman. And Roman was like, just wait, you could, let me talk, maybe, kind of. He said he's going to take Braun Strowman to hell because this is his yard and he makes the rules. And he brought up something about accepting the challenger in the ambulance match. It was like, they said it was official last week. But hey, you came out to accept it. Congratulations. But then, as he was about to say about the rules, the siren comes, an ambulance backs into the arena, Roman stares down the ambulance, he walks over to the ambulance, investigates it, opens the door slowly, and there's no Braun Strowman. But there was no Strowman in, there was no one in the ambulance, but there was Strowman in the building as he attacked Roman Reigns. They fought on the ramp, and then Braun chucked him off the ramp into the ambulance, and then shoved him inside the ambulance. This was a good start.
Okay. Back in the Wyatt family days, when Braun was a part of the family, you can tell somebody was paying attention when Bray was going to jump somebody. Because Braun is, like, on point, on fire, able to get the jump on Roman pretty much every time. And I love that. I absolutely love that you have Braun, who's not just, you know, Braun, smash, grr, arg, and he's, you know, beating people up. It's, no, he can get the jump on somebody, and he's clever enough that he can do it every time. Like, he's got Roman's number.
And as he should.
As he should. And while I'm not as jazzed for this match,
no, because
it's like, I'm still excited for it.
Because we've seen it already.
Because we've seen it already, but we haven't seen the ambulance match. It was a little bit of a snafu with Roman where he's like, well, you know, now I'm going to accept the match. It's like, well, but it's official.
You can't
say no at this point.
Yeah, they already said you accepted it last week. So
I guess he just wants to make it Monday Night Raw official? I don't know.
He made it Raw official. It changed his Raw status to official.
Okay. All right. Up next is Facebook official.
When it becomes Facebook official, then, you know, we'll go from there. Our first contest of the evening was Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, and Finn Balor taking on the Drifter, Elias, Samson, Sheamus, and Cesaro.
This was random as hell.
So, Lindsay, you have a show this Thursday, right? It's like a 5-year show or something?
Yeah, man. We just met yesterday or today or whatever. I don't know. I'm not going to play along with this. But yes, we do have a show Thursday. It's the 5-year anniversary of the Rack. Tune in. We're going to have stories. We're going to have Ask the Rack, which you can submit your questions to. And, well, we're going to be talking Slammiversary, and we even maybe kind of have a guest. So Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Tune in. Listen. It's going to be epic.
We have a guest?
Maybe.
Do we? No, that's the week after.
Oh, that's the week after. I'm sorry, that's the week after.
That's Great Balls of Fire.
We don't have the guest this week. We have the guest next week. Sorry. But, you know, speaking of guests, y'all can listen to our fabulous Angelina Love interview, which aired this past Thursday.
Available now at rockradioshow.com.
Ding! Because, you know, shameless plugs. Because that's pretty much what they did in this match. You know, instead of calling this match like they should have, they had Josh Duhamel come out. He was doing commentary. It's like, okay, that's kind of random, but maybe he's there for Transformers. Nope. Nope. They announced that he's directing a WWE Studios film, and it took them three questions for him to say, oh yeah, by the way, Sheamus is in it. And he just met him today. I'm going to beg this of WWE. Please, for the love of God, can you not put people that don't know your product on commentary? Like, there are other ways to do this. There are other ways to announce that, hey, Josh Duhamel is going to be directing one of your films and Sheamus is going to be in it. You could do a backstage bit and it would work just as well. But having a match going on with some of, you know, with your tag team champions, the number one contenders for your tag team champions, Finn Balor and Elias Samson, all in this match, all facing each other, and you have somebody sitting there doing commentary that's basically being interviewed while the match is going on, and the dude has no idea what he's talking about in terms of wrestling. That just was really, really, really painful to watch.
He also has a show called Unsolved that's coming to USA Network, which is probably why
he was... Which is probably why he was actually there, yeah. But still, it's just, it's like the dude was like, well, this is my first time, you know, coming to a live event, which means, you know, I don't think he is a wrestling fan, which I don't hold that against him.
No,
plenty of the celebrities they have that on are not wrestling fans. They're there for an opportunity to get their product out there. And hey, you know, cool, I respect it. Everybody's got to make money somehow. But it's like putting him on commentary was a bad, bad call.
Well, it was not the worst celebrity appearance tonight.
Oh my God, no, it wasn't.
We'll get to that.
Oh, Jesus, no.
Besides the bad commentary, this was a really good match. The Hardys and Finn Balor picked up the win. Good stuff all around in that match.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Goldust return. He has his own film guy that films him now. He has his own camera guy, but it's film, so film guy.
Instead of film guy, can we talk about the classic Goldust suit coming back?
It's a semi sort of look at the classic Goldust suit. It's
like retro remix.
It's a remix of it, yeah. It's like, it has a yellow, but it's not like the fabric that he used to have. It's like the current pleather, I guess he uses. But yeah. Anyway, he has his camera guy film him as he went to fight R-Truth. It was not even a match. It was just Goldust using the camera guy, who was dressed in gold, as a weapon or a distraction. And he attacked R-Truth and then left him lying. That's what that was.
The only thing I really didn't like about this was how obtrusive the camera guy was. I mean, I get the point of it, which is the dude needs to be there filming, but he was really almost in the way a lot of the times.
And I think that was the point.
And that's the point, and I just don't like that. It's like, move, dude. Just move.
Seth Rollins beat Curt Hawkins. That was
it happened.
It happened. Afterwards, Bray Wyatt started talking about forgiveness of past transgressions.
Oh my God, Bray.
Rollins carries around a corporate flag and tells his fans, like, to be like no one, yet he blindly leads the ignorant to a place from where there is no return. Wyatt said he would save Rollins. Wyatt told Rollins to be careful what he wishes for, because inside his mind and is everywhere. He's inside his mind and is everywhere. Wyatt said, on July 9th will be the day of Reclamation. He told him to give him into his true self, or he will burn. Reclamation, that's what it was. Seth Reclamation. He told him to give him into his true self, or he will burn.
Okay, couple things on this.
Past transgressions, go.
Not gonna go there. Gonna go here first. You see the exact moment where Bray Wyatt stops himself from saying Great Balls of Fire in that promo.
On July 9th.
He hesitates. You see it flicker in his eyes where he's like, nope.
Nope.
Not gonna do it. Nope. And I've been waiting for them to get Bray Wyatt to say Great Balls of Fire this entire time. Because I want him to do it so bad. And this was like so close. So close. But he was just like, nope, I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna say it. There are certain things Bray Wyatt will not do, and saying Great Balls of Fire is one of them this week.
We still have one more week.
We still have one more week, and I hold out hope for that week. Second thing, Bray, honey, maybe bringing up, you know, forgiven for past transgressions is not best thing to say right now, seeing as you're 2 weeks out from your divorce going public. Just saying, that's kind of like the pot calling the kettle black, because, I mean, we all know about Seth and what Seth's done, and everything like that, because, you know, honestly, that's where my mind went, with Seth.
Yeah.
It's not, It's not the betrayal of the Shield. It's not the authority stuff. It's not anything in storyline. Oh no, no, no. It's when Seth Rollins' girlfriend plastered his dick all over the internet because he was cheating on her with another girl. Fast forward 2.5, 3 years later, something like that, and here's Bray Wyatt, where his divorce is plastered all over the internet for everybody to read about because he pissed off his soon-to-be ex-wife. At least that's what we're told. So it's like, it's a very similar situation, and we're now 2 weeks removed from when that went public, and Bray's standing there, you know, going, well, you know, you've been forgiven for your past transgressions, and it's like, poor choice of words. Poor, poor, poor choice of words there, honey. It's like, it was a really, really, really strong promo, but there was just that really awkward moment at the start where you're like... Because you're almost waiting for Seth to take the shot. Like, you're waiting for Seth to do it, and he doesn't, thank God. But it's like, Bray said that, and it's like, he just opened the door. He just opened the door.
Neville beat Lince Dorado in 3 minutes via submission. The Titus Worldwide has now announced that it will be a title match between Tozawa and Neville at Great Balls of Fire.
Good lord, Tozawa can get his jacket and his tie off fast. My God! Well, most of these guys, like, you see them take a tie. If they're wearing a tie, it's like they take their tie off and they struggle with it. Tozawa, man, he popped that and the jacket off, and he was, like, in his shirt and pants and, like, nothing. Nothing, because it's like, literally, you had Tozawa get up at the end of the match because he was in his special little VIP area with this beautiful velvet gold rope, purple velvet ropes. He gets up, he steps over the ropes, he gets up on the ring post. That's when Titus comes out. And in the time that Titus came out and Tozawa got up on the ring apron, the jacket and the tie came off. And he was rolling up his sleeves when they cut back to him. So it's just like, damn! Boy, he's missing his calling.
Now it's time to get real. Real serious.
And for a moment?
For a moment. I'm going to be serious for a moment. Enzo Amore came out. He's not doing too good. It's about the realest guys in the room, though. It's not about him. It's about the realest guys in the room. Took off his jacket, showed up, big Cass and Enzo shirt. He tried to call Cass all week. Spoke to his mother, but he hasn't spoken to Cass. He wanted to handle behind the scenes, but now he doesn't care how long he's standing right. He calls out Cass. Cass comes out to the same music as Enzo did, wearing a black t-shirt.
Awkward.
Enzo asks if Cass heard the reaction. Enzo said he knows it hurts Cass because he knows him better than anyone in the world. He says, the reactions hurt Cass just like Cass hurt him. Enzo said Cass said a lot of hurtful things, and he was even right about a lot of those things. He's not the biggest guy in the world. He might not, and he might have the biggest mouth. And sometimes it bites him more than he can chew. But that's okay, because he had Cass. He said they were family. Cass was his brother. Enzo said Cass broke his heart and nearly broke his face, but he is his brother. And it's a bond he refuses to let it break him. Enzo said, forget about wrestling in WWE. You're my brother for life. Enzo said he saw his passion when Cass spoke to him last week. He said the last time he saw that was when he woke up in the hospital following the pay-per-view when he got knocked out. Enzo said he has to focus on the future of his family, and he refuses to let Cass break their bond before they become champions. So after they become champions, he can kick him in the face as many times as he wants. But they have to become champs first. Cass said, Enzo, you just never know when to shut up, man. But I have to be honest, after what I did last week, I'm so ashamed of my life. It's the most ashamed I've ever been. You may be loud, annoying, and constantly running your mouth, but that's you, and I accept you for who you are. They are brothers. In front of the world, I want to say to my brother, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for everything I said. I'm sorry for everything I did. I'm sorry for the last 5 weeks. Please accept my apology. Fans were chanting no. Cass put out his hand. Enzo told him that basically they have a future in their family. They hugged. They shook hands. All is right in the world. And then the soft routine. They left together. They were celebrating. They were all happy. Hands are being raised. And then a big arm right to the head of Enzo Amore with a clothesline. And down went Enzo, and then Cass picked him up. And he tossed him down the entrance ramp. Thoughts?
This is really good. Couple things. Both of them coming out to the same entrance music. Slightly awkward.
They did change his Tron, but they needed new music.
Yeah, they did change the Tron. He's got his own Tron now. But both of them coming out to the same entrance music, slightly awkward. Y'all need to figure out who gets that in the breakup. Just saying. I didn't like Cass coming out in just a plain black t-shirt. I almost feel like they should have had something ready for him or had something made for him that at least he's coming out in his own branded t-shirt. Like, it just looked really, unpolished for Cass to come out just in this plain black t-shirt, because you had the fancy graphics ready, but it's like you didn't have new music ready for him, you didn't have any kind of like shirt or branding ready for him. So it just felt a little unpolished, and I get, you know, they probably didn't have time to get it all done, but I don't know. I just feel like they could have done more with it. I liked how they did this. I liked how they told that story between Enzo and Cass, where you have Enzo trying to fix it because that's who Enzo is. It's like, you know, everybody's like, he's not going to go for revenge right away. He's not going to try and hurt Cass right away. It's, oh, hey, you know, I screwed up too. This is my fault too. I'm going to accept my blame in this. Hey, I'm sorry for my blame. Let's fix this. Let's do what we got to do to work this out, you know, and move forward and go for the titles. And, you know, and we're all sitting here, and as Enzo's talking, and Cass is, like, you know, holding out his hand, and they apologize, and they kiss and make up and everything, and we're like, don't do it! Don't do it! Don't trust him!
And he did, and it, you know.
And it backfired, but, you know, it was just, it was a really well-done segment. It was kind of a breath of fresh air from when one person betrays another person. You know, it's automatically, well, I hate you, I hate you. In this case, no, it wasn't that. It was, they told the story of, okay, well, let's try to fix this first before this friendship dies.
Yeah, now we have to talk about something very unfortunate. Ms. TV.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
No, we do not have to talk about this at all. Nope, nope. It happened. Next.
No, we have to talk about it.
Nope.
Yeah.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
Nope.
I'll talk about it. You don't have to say a word.
Thank you.
Ms. and Maurice, who apparently, thank you, Dirt Cheats, she's still here, but she's still angry at him. He calls out his guest, LeVar Ball, and his son, LaMelo. They were putting over the big baller brand. LeVar brought out his son, who was drafted by the Lakers. We'll say, getting the son there and being able to be there, that's a big moment. That's a big sports center moment. I don't care about the father. Having the number two draft pick on your show is culture. It's pop culture relevant at this point. That's a smart move by WWE. They rambled on and on and on. And Miz wanted to be a part of the big baller brand, and yay, and LeVar was saying his crazy stuff. There's, you know, there are only two dudes better than me, and I'm both of them. Great. Fantastic. Then LeVar pulled off his shirt, started running around the ring. Dean Ambrose came out wearing a big baller branded shirt. He got a free t-shirt. He was happy. It feels like they pulled the plug on this segment really quickly. And I think they did.
Yeah, I think they did too. Because it was bombing really, really, really badly. Because you just had LeVar out there just pretty much making a joke of himself.
No, he's not making a joke of himself. That's who he is. That's the scary part. That's who he is.
Right, he was owning who he was, but he was not doing himself any favors.
He never does.
And it's like, I'm still trying to figure out why WWE invited them in the first place, beyond they just wanted the SportsCenter moment. It's like, really? Really? You're 2 weeks out from a pay-per-view, and this is what you okay.
You didn't even get a SportsCenter moment because there was no physicality. It's like, if LeVar Ball punched The Miz, that would have been a big moment. If, you know, something happened, it would have been the SportsCenter moment. Oh, he appeared on Raw. Oh, that's great. Nothing happened. He took
over. Yeah, I mean, they yanked the plug on this. They went to commercial, and when they came back, suddenly we had a six-man tag.
Well, they said going to break, we were having a six-man tag. It was just like, and they started ripping into him afterwards on commentary, so it's like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they yanked the plug on this, and they got them out of the ring really quickly. They got Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel and Slater and Rhino down there super fast.
So it was Ambrose, Slater, and Rhino versus Miz, Curtis, Axel, and Bo Dallas. That was a good match, by the way. And a miracle happened. Bo Dallas got a pinfall victory on Monday Night Raw.
He believed. And he won. I'm so proud of him. Also, he shaved. Kind of. He trimmed up.
He groomed himself.
He groomed himself. He looked in the mirror and he's like, oh, I look like I've been living under a bridge for the past 5 years. Here, let me clean my face up. And it did him no favors because he still looks like his brother.
Yeah. So,
if that glower doesn't run in the family.
Yeah. So, yeah, at the end of the day, they tried something. It did not work.
Please don't ever do that again. Please. This was a really, really bad night for celebrity appearances. Please don't ever do this again.
It's what happens when you're in Hollywood. So throughout the night, like it's the Royal Rumble or something, the mini Tumblr return as the ladies got to play with balls on live TV. They got to fondle them, open them up, and read numbers, and they would know exactly where they were in the gauntlet. Because tonight's main event was a women's gauntlet match for a number one contendership at Great Balls of Fire. Up first, it was Bayley taking on Nia Jax. Bayley was eliminated. Mickey was up next. She was eliminated by Nia. Dana Brooke stupidly came out and got eliminated by Nia. Emma was like, I maybe have second thoughts. Got eliminated by Nia. And the final entrance was Sasha Banks. They had a 15 minute match between the two. Nia was out there for almost like 20 something minutes.
Yeah.
This was a good showcase of Nia this entire night. And it was a good comeback by Sasha Banks. She locked on a modified version of the bank statement that just sort of had Nia go down on her knees and sort of fade away, fade away, fade away, and then she tapped out. I thought the match was good. I thought the whole segment was good. The whole gauntlet match itself was good. I thought they really did a good job making Nia Jax, and they made Sasha Banks. Afterwards, Kurt Angle came out and raised Sasha's hands. Alexa came out, got in Sasha's face, then ate a dropkick. Yeah, what'd you think?
I thought it was good. I thought it was overall entertaining. You had Nia essentially go through the entire women's division until she hit Sasha Banks. I'm seeing a lot of people call BS on this, where they're basically like, yeah, this is kind of crap because, you know, they wanted essentially Nia to win, which I can see that point. I think people still aren't necessarily ready for Sasha to go back into the title picture yet.
Okay, here's the thing, but Nia's a heel. Alexa's a heel. One of them would have to play babyface. They're not ready to turn either yet.
No, they're not. So, I mean, they made the smart move. And you have legit heat between Alexa and Sasha. So there's no worries about, you know, them waffling this. Those two just really don't like each other. So it's like, okay, all right, this should at least be a decent build to this. But, I mean, I think just people wanted Nia because they want Nia to get the chance at the title.
And Nia will get her chance. They're slowly building to that matchup. It's long-term booking with that. They're building to it. Where Nia will have finally had enough of Alexa, and they'll just go. And that's where we're building to. Right now, 2 weeks out, a two-week build, throw Sasha in there. That's fine. You let the longer build for Beef or Nia getting her shot. Because that could happen at SummerSlam. People need to stop being so reactionary of one, you know, oh my god, this person getting shot at this pay-per-view, but this person deserves it. Calm down. Everyone will get their chance. Just saying. But overall, this was a really good Raw.
It was a really good Raw. I mean, aside from the two celebrity segments, this was very enjoyable.
Even the first celebrity segment just muted and the match was really good. Second segment, not so much.
Yeah.
Anyway, that'll do it for another edition of Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night, twitch.tv/rockradioshow, it's Total Nonstop Sims, The Impact Invasion, WTR versus Impact Wrestling. Available twitch.tv/rockradioshow tomorrow night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Thursday night, though, it's a 5-year celebration of the Rack.
That's right. We've been around 5 years. Can y'all believe it? We've had interviews. We've had guests. We've had you name it. And a lot of fun along the way. We're going to do a special show where we sit down. We talk about the show. You can submit your questions. Ask the Rack. You can ask us anything you like. We're happy to answer it. Just remember, if you ask a smart-ass question, expect a smart-ass response. But we're also going to be talking Slammiversary. We'll have all your favorites. SmackDown, NXT, news, notes, all that fun stuff. But Thursday night, 5-year anniversary of The Rack. 10 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss it.
You can also go back and listen to our interview with Angelina Love, which is blowing up the internet. Available now at RackRadioShow.com and YouTube.com/RackRadioShow. Again, send a question for us to Rack at RackRadioShow at Wild Talk Radio, or, you know, any other way you know how to get a hold of us. Saturday Night Midnight-ish at CB Radio. The Great and the Great Debate for who is the greatest Canadian of all the times. We'll tell you who it is. The debate begins and happens on the Great and the Great Debate this Saturday Night Midnight-ish. CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and.com. Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio previews Great Balls of Fire at 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back right here next Monday Night Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com, so it's Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at LensWard, LNSWARD. You can go to my website, sideboarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LensWard, same as the Twitter.
GirlWork.net and Wrestling Figure Photography present this show. She's Lindsay. I'm Rock. We'll see you Thursday for the Rack and right back here along there with the Raw Talk Radio Network for the Raw Post Show. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.